Excuse me. You have your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 is a launching pad for the evening. Thank you, Jody. I want to read this scripture to you. And I know that you know this scripture. It's scripture that we all know. I'm going to read down through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Years ago, I heard someone preaching, and they said, any time the Bible said therefore, you need to look at that scripture and see what it's there for. So we're looking at this scripture this evening and seeing what it says. And it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I don't know how many hours it would take just to take apart that few verses of scripture. Because when I study, I'm a word person. I look at words and I dig apart things and I think about things, and then it explodes in my mind and then it goes deeper with me a lot of times. So yesterday, I did say yesterday, right? In prayer here at the church, there's something that hit my heart as I was over there praying for this church and for those that was here and for us. And the Lord took me to this scripture, and the thought came to me, and this is just, it is so shallow that it's deep, okay? And I was there and I was thinking, how amazing it is for God to take a life that has been utterly destroyed by sin, marred, and I'm not going to go to Jeremiah, and I'm not going to go to Romans, but both of those places talks about the fact that he can take this clay and he can put it back on the wheel, and he wrought a new work on the wheel. How that you and I, in our original origin of being, because of our ancestral link between Adam and Eve, we find ourselves marred. We find ourselves in our own lives marred as we stand in the presence of a holy God. I have nothing to offer him tonight. There's not one thing that I can give God that would honor, add value to, that would make God feel any more better about himself being God, other than my life. I give my life to him. I give everything within me to him. This scripture that I read to you in verse number 17 is a scripture that we all know. It's a scripture that we've known for years. But this is a glorious scripture. In the context that it describes to you and to me, that God can take an old heart. He can take a heart that's being mangled, and a heart that's being poisoned, and a heart that's being damaged, a heart that's being wrangled by sin. And God can take that life, and God can transform that life into something beautiful. I know that I have been talking to my friend Steve, he's not able to be here tonight, and a few others about individuals that I know of, how that we're believing that God is going to take what seems to be a hopeless situation of maybe someone's heart that has waned away from God, that has drifted away from God and gone into the dark trenches of life, if you will. That to me is amazing. And I know we all that have been good little Christians for a lot of years, we have a tendency to forget about the things that God has done for us. We have a tendency not to understand that there is still a lot of people out there in trouble tonight. Matter of fact, there may be possibly somebody listening to me, either on air or here in this room tonight. Maybe your heart is not really where your heart needs to be. And the point that I'm trying to make is simply this, that God can take your heart and God can do a life transformation in your heart. I don't know about you, but I have the last several days of my life, the last few days of my life, and the last week of my life, the messages that I preach to you, I preach to myself way before I ever preach them to you. But I want God to transform me. Let me use the word again. If He has to throw me back on the wheel again and do a brand new work in me, as Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord." And I pray that God would begin to take you, and that God would begin to take me, and that God would begin to take this church, and God would transform us into the Christians that God would want us to be in the year 2022. God's not dead. God still wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do a work in my life. Transformation. Transformation. Sherry, my wife, has got into this wonderful thing that she enjoys doing. She don't crochet, but it would probably be a lot lighter and a lot easier if she did crochet. But she's grabbing up old pieces of furniture and stripping them down. And we got stuff that we've given away and stuff that's in our garage that I was glad to see gone. Janet and Rogers come by a time or two and got some of that stuff that people's give to me. You can't fix it all. But we watched this lady, her name's Kasia, she's on YouTube. And other ladies, it's on YouTube. This one lady found a hutch-like thing, and it was on the curb, and somebody had taken it and just thrown it away. And she took that thing, and we sat there, and that's not where this message came from. I just thought about it, sort of. I thought about it earlier, but she took this old buffet, old way antique thing that was missing pieces and missing parts, and she took it into her prep room, wherever she was at, in a garage or whatever it was, and she began to work on that thing and take pieces off and begin the process of washing it and cleansing it, if you will. And but she began to put new stain on it and new paint on it. And this piece was, remember, this piece was on the curb to be thrown away. And she refurbished that piece of furniture, and it went through a wonderful transformation, and she got $650 out of that piece of furniture. Not my wife, the other lady is on YouTube. And I began to think about that later, about how that this message was dropped in my heart as I was here yesterday. Can I just say this as I move deeper into this message? And I want you to hear this, whoever you are, wherever you're at. Now, you may feel like you're trash. You may feel like you're ready for the dump. You hear me? You may feel like you're done. You may feel like your life is over. You may feel like you have no hope. But I'm so thankful tonight that God knows how to refurbish. Amen? I'm glad that God knows how to put us back on the wheel, and I'm glad that God knows how to do the things that only God can do. God can take what looks like a throwaway individual, what others would say, throw them away. And I believe that God can do an amazing work in people's lives. We've got to get back to the place that we believe that as the church. Now don't get mad at the preacher because it's too early in the message. Because somebody comes in and don't look like you and don't look like me. I've done it and you've done it. I wonder what they're up to tonight. Stand in my office door, look down the hallway wondering who that is. I've not really done that maybe too many times, but I have looked down the hallway wondering who it was. You know what I mean? They might not have looked like me. They might not have been just like me. And let me just say this. We think about throwaways. We think about transformation. Can I tell you there's a lot of doctors and lawyers and politicians and rich people that need the same transformation as a man laying in a ditch tonight somewhere. But the same God that can change that man in the ditch is the same man that can change a millionaire's heart. Are you listening to me tonight? But somehow in our mind, we forgot about what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to reconcile. This is the scripture. He came to reconcile you and I back to God. And God has delivered unto you and I the ministry of reconciliation. What God has done for you and me through His Son Christ Jesus. What God wants us to do is to go out and find somebody and let the same hand of God that changed you change them. We've got to understand that. Evangelism, we've got to understand missions. We've got to understand that God's given it to you in order for it to be used for His glory. The problem is getting it through you. I've often heard it said, if God can get it through you, He can get it to you. Transformation, change. Taking an old black heart. Taking just let me use the word. The only word I can think about right now is what I mean, that's the only way I can think about it. Taking an old filthy black heart, a filthy sinner, a no good, low down, good for nothing, sorry, not fit to kill sinner. Is that a pretty good description? Pretty good, wasn't it, Brother Steve? And changing that person's life. I was sitting over there yesterday and it hit me like a brick. I know that's what God's done for everybody in this room. Here's what I believe that God's wanting us to do. God's wanting us to see out of a new set of eyes and see people the way He sees them. And until we see people the way He sees them, we will never, ever have the ministry of reconciliation ourselves. We'll have a lot of pride. We'll have a lot of haughtiness. We'll have a lot of bigotry. I think that's the word I'm looking for. We'll have a whole lot of looking down our nose at somebody else and saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that person. And you say, well, what is God saying to us tonight? Let me just sort of encompass this in the scripture that I'm going to give you. It's in Romans chapter 12. I like that what Jesus said where the... One of the Pharisees was there, and I didn't look it up and I didn't even read it, but it was like the Pharisee, he smote his chest and he said, you know, I'm glad I'm not like these sinners. Sometimes we forget where we have come from. We use the old cliche, we forget about the rock from which we were hewn. We forget that that's where God found us. We forget that, hey, there go I. Save the grace of God. We forget about that. I could run through this place. I feel the electricity of the Holy Ghost in my bones tonight. I'm glad to get in the sunshine when I come in here. The S-O-N. I'm so glad that God shows up. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We hit this on Sunday, but we hit it for a different reason on Sunday. But for tonight, this is what the Bible says. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verse of scripture, again, is a, let me use this word again very loosely in my explanation of where I'm going. It is the renewing of your mind, being transformed. God is wanting to refurbish your mind. God is wanting to cleanse your mind. James even says that, cleanse you hands, you sinners, and purify your minds, you double-minded. God is wanting to transform our minds. And when I was over there yesterday praying, and I was thinking about that, of how the spiritual transformation has taken place in our lives. But yet, I too believe that God is continually working on us through the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But the thing that Jesus is saying, or Paul is saying here in this scripture, is that we be transformed. God is transforming us. Again, this may not be for nobody but me tonight. I don't know. But you know how easy it is to get lazy. You know how easy it is to get sidetracked. You know how easy it is to lose your focus. I bought glasses. They can't even get them focused. I can't even wear them now. I took them yesterday, and now they got them all whacked out. They're real bad now. I'll leave that alone for another date. But God is trying to get you and I refocused on Him. I'm not blaming COVID. I'm not blaming politicians. I'm not blaming anyone. But you know and I know for a long time we have been sidetracked. Are you alive tonight? I don't mean to be preachy. God help me. I don't mean to be that way. But it's in my heart. I mean, it's in my heart. We have been sidetracked. We have come to church and our minds been over yonder. We've come to church in body, but we've not been here in spirit. Jesus said in the word, the woman at the well, that God seeketh those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You say, there you go with that spirit thing again. That's the only way that you can really worship God, is through and by your spirit man. Your flesh man can raise his hand. Your flesh man can say a glory, hallelujah, and an amen. But that don't mean your spirit man is connected. I believe there's something deep. Bible says that, yea, that deep calleth unto deep. And I believe that God is calling the church to get back into the deep of the water again and walk with Him and let all this other mess go. Just let it go. And God has said, I want to transform you. I want to change you into my likeness. I want to change you into the church and into the people that I will be claiming as my own. You look into the scripture, and again, I'm not going to get into the depth of the scripture, a particular scripture and stuff that I've been reading. I'm going to get into some of it tonight, but I'm not going to go real deep into it. So how do we transform? Let me show you a few things. This is me. When you preach it the way you want to. In Psalm 36. Almost messed up. I was going to get you in Proverbs 36. So, Psalm 36. Watch this. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. That verse. I've read it, I'm supposing. I've read the scripture over and over about, you know. But I was sitting over there yesterday in prayer. Things happen in prayer meeting, Brother Cain. Things happen in prayer meeting. Delman, Richard, and those that can come, Raymond, and those that show up. There's about five of us. And this happened over there. And God said, turn to Psalm 36. I was over there praying about the transformation, about God transforming us. I didn't know what Psalm 36 was till I turned over there. But here it is. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, within his heart. He said that there is no fear of God before his eyes. The first thing that I believe this evening that God told me to tell you, if you want transformation, in your life, we've got to have a healthy fear of God. Fear, the fear of God. Hebrew, the word here, when we look at this scripture where he talks about that again. And he says here in the word, he says, the transgression of the wicked saith within his own heart. Hebrew, this word saith here again is a word that is translated, is used by the prophets, is a more formal sense of signifying God's official declaration for his people, such as transgression speaks concerning the lack of the fear of God. When we see this word, he saith unto himself. It's a declaration. He's saying this to himself. He saith unto himself in the scripture, and we look at it, and he says, he's talking to himself. He talks to himself. What is he saying? And I'm not saying there's anybody here like that, but I'm just saying what I feel like God is saying through this scripture. He's saying to himself, he's saying in his own heart, I don't fear God. I don't fear nobody. That's what he's saying to himself. How many people do you know today that's walking around in our world today with their chest poked out that has absolutely no fear of God? When I grew up, and I'm not that old, but when I grew up, America had a healthy fear of God. Now America will spit in the face of God. If there's ever been a time where we need revival in the land, today is the land that we are living in. We need a spiritual revolution and a resolution, and we need to return back to the fear of God in this country of ours. I'm telling you, my friend, it's not going to happen in the White House, the schoolhouse, the church house. It's got to happen in your house. And as it happens in your house, if you yourself look at your life, my God, have mercy. If you look at yourself and say, God, here I am. Transform me. Oh God, with reverence do I love you. With reverence do I fear you. With reverence do I honor you. We don't need to walk around with our chest poked out, thumping our chest at God like God owes us something. Oh my friend, let me tell you, yes, we're sinners saved by grace. Yes, I used to be a sinner. I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, but yet I still have no right to thump my chest at God. I still need to walk humble every day before the God I serve. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the God of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And this is Wednesday night, right? Oh, God. When we begin to look at the scripture, there's several other places that it talks about this. The scripture again says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We see that. We can look over there in a few minutes, and we're not turning there yet. We'll mention this a little bit later on. The fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. As I was reading different things and finding my way through this message, these words I came across has said, and real wisdom. And real wisdom. We think, well, we can get book knowledge. We can get knowledge by practical things that we do, as Brother Tatum talked about. Life itself teaches us. That's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that God has given you, the understanding of what God has shown you, to know how to use the wisdom, to know how to use the knowledge. Help me to understand how to use the knowledge that God has given me. But one individual said, the scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So what is this wisdom that he's talking about here? Is simply this. It's simply the wisdom to depart from evil. the wisdom to depart from evil. Amen? The Bible talks about letting no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy, the more that God reveals Himself. And I'll get into that a little bit later. This means that we must avoid, watch this. This is spiritual transformation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things become new. Spiritual transformation is loving what you used to hate and hating what you used to love. But beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be cleansed from within. And then we look at this, and it talks about this fear of God and this wisdom to depart from evil. Watch this. And let me clarify the next statement by simply saying, I do not believe that anybody in this room would hurt anybody intentional or on purpose. That's not who Thomasville is. Number two is, I do not believe that anybody in this room would go out tonight and do something intentionally that would be sinful and corrupt, that would draw your life away from God. I don't believe that you would do that. I can't speak for those watching because I don't know who's watching. But when I was studying and writing notes, I began to look at this, and it said that the fear of God is to depart from evil. The fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, is to depart from evil. I didn't write the text down, but again, my mind goes back to Thessalonians because it tells us that we're to, watch this, spiritual transformation, to flee from the very appearance of evil. If it looks like it's something that would take you down a pathway that would be contrary to the will of God, I got some good news for you tonight. And the good news is simply stay away from it. Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. She was beguiled. He was the most wily beast of the field, if you will. Subtle beast of the field. And you and I today have got to understand, if we're going to live sanctified, transformed lives, that it is imperative that we flee from the very appearance of evil. That, my friend, is not, I'm holier than thou, I'm not holier than anybody else. It's not that I'm thumping my chest at anybody else, that I'm looking down my nose at anybody else. It's not that I'm living here and you're living here. It's that I've made up my mind, my own mind, that I'm going to live a life that is pleasing unto God. I want to serve Him. I want to love Him. I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It has nothing to do with some type of egotistical pride. It has nothing to do with me being any better than anybody else. But one thing that I desire of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you cannot even come into the presence of God and be free in the presence of God if you've got open and known sin in your life. And I'm telling you, I don't know who's hearing this where, but it is time for the church one more time to sanctify herself and to cleanse herself from any and all open sin in your life. Somebody would say, well, preacher, do you ever sin? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'll be honest with you, I sinned all I wanted to today. My point is, I did not sin that I know of, and God, if I did, forgive me. But here's the thing. I don't go out and intentionally do anything that I know that would be contrary to that word. Spiritual transformation. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Make it more like You. You are the potter. I am the clay. And I'm saying to the Thomasville Church of God, I'm saying, God, sweep through this place and God, transform us so that as we've seen your glory on this past Sunday morning, that your glory would come again and again and again, and that lives could start being saved and changed, and young people, dear God, the young people would have an encounter with Jesus Christ, oh God, before it's ever too late for their lives. Fear, again, that means we must avoid evil and do anything that lures us to do evil or any type of wickedness. As God's people, we are to flee and get away from all forms of evil, vices that leads to sin. If we lose the fear of God, I'm headed to something tonight. If we lose the fear of God, which means the respect of God, to revere God, our life will be overtaken with evil and sin. Somebody will say, well, preacher, that's pretty good preaching, but that'll never happen to me. You're the very one that better perk your ears up. As Brother Cain said, Satan's smart. He'll do what he can. But let me look at this again. He says, again, it says, the vices that lead to sin, if we lose the fear of God, the respect of God, to revere God, our life will be overtaken with evil and sin. Let me hurry. Fear, again, when we think about fear, it means that it can mean several things. Deuteronomy 2 and 25 in the Old Testament, it talks about this. It talks about how that fear can be referred to terror. It's a fear that leaves one in a frightening situation. Again, I don't know this. It's just greenology. I know there's a right fear of God. But if this type of fear, where we have a terror of God taking his ball bat from behind his throne in heaven and beating you upside the head because we fear him, is the wrong kind of fear of God. Because the Bible says, no, I didn't write it down, but it's over in 1 John. You can go there sometime and read it, chapter 4. It talks about that God is love and there's no fear in love, for love casteth out all fear. Here's the person that walks in the wrong kind of fear. And I believe this would be provable given time. Is a person whose lives, they're living in a sinful situation and they're living in sin. You've ever heard the old saying, God's going to get you for that? God sees everything and God knows everything. He knows your uprisings and he knows your downsettings. He knows when you snore at night. Come on, somebody. He knows, and God knows your thought. Every thought God knows. But here's the thing. When we think about fear, we think about the right kind of fear, not the wrong kind of fear of God. Third kind of fear, we think about this, and it talks about it in Joshua 24 and 14. And it talks about there, it can mean respect in the way the servant fears his master and serves him faithfully. Talks about how that Joshua was a man that feared, and as he feared his master, he served him. Again, there it is. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him sincerity, and in truth. There's the scripture that piggybacks that last scripture, serve him with truth. And then he says, put away the gods of your fathers. Wouldn't it be awesome if the church came back to that place of spiritual transformation, that we would put all our trinkets down? Well, I don't worship Ashtaroth, Moloch, Diana. I don't worship the gods of the Canaanites, of the Ashtaroth and those that, I don't do that, but we've got other things in our modern day that takes the place of God. Hello, somebody. Empty pews. You say, well, people can't come on Wednesday night. People do what they want to do. People do what they choose to do. People do what they make a priority. Now, I'm not being an ugly preacher, pastor this evening, and because I know there's physical conditions and there's physical things that would keep people from that. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, I'm just going to be ugly. James, if I need to run out, I got my keys, you finish. And let me be very, very nice and say it nicely. And you say, well, preacher, you're the pastor. You expect people to be at church. Yeah, I do. I'm not talking about going off out of town on a vacation and taking some time. I plan on doing that in a few months myself. But I'm talking about when it's habitual. You know, Raymond would have to tell me, I think it's Little Archie and the Inspirations years ago, that would come out with the song Excuses. And people look for an excuse not to be in God's presence. They'll find it. But spiritual transformation, see, I changed that whole line of thought. I was going to get ugly for a minute. I changed. Steve, you're praying for me. I had to change my whole demeanor there. Because I could have been rough and I could have offended, and I don't want to do that. Let me just say it this. If you can be in God's house and you're not sick, you need to be in God's house. That's as good as I know how to say it. That's as nice as I know how to say it. And God's not looking for people today. Listen. Woo, felt him again. God's not looking for people today of making an excuse of why they cannot be in his house. God's looking for the Gideon army. Gideon ended up from 32,000 to 300. And they went and they won the victory. God is looking for people that's been transformed. And the only thing I can say is it's got room for him in their life. If our lives are so cluttered with so many other things and we don't have room for God, God is a gentleman and God's not going to push his way in. He'll knock on your door. But when you don't answer, that dove's going to go somewhere else for a while. Put away your gods which you served before you were converted. Let me get deep into this here real quick. Fear can also denote reverence. It can also denote awe of a person feels in respect when they get into the presence of someone that is great. And Isaiah did this in Isaiah 6 and 5, where as Isaiah was there, and it was that time that the Shekinah glory came and he seen the smoke of the tabernacle. His eyes got off of Uriah, eyes got off of the king, not Uriah, but who is it? Somebody help me. Help me, Miss Betty. Isaiah 6. He got his, Uzziah, yeah. He got his eyes off of him. He got his eyes back on God. Isaiah 6 and 5, and he says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And he says, "My eyes have seen the King." He says, "The Lord of hosts." When Isaiah got his eyes off Uzziah, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. And he said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He took a self-examination. But yet we see through his yielding, he said, he took the coal from the altar and he purged his mouth. He purged his lips. Isn't that amazing how that he took the coal from the altar of the Lord and he purged his lips? Lord, set a guard about my mouth that I would only say those things that are permittable in your hearing and in your sight. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, O Lord, my Redeemer. Transform me, make me, mold me, shape me. Let my life be a living epistle. Let my life be exactly what you would want it to be. You say, well, preacher, why are you preaching like this? First of all, it happened over there. Number two, let me just be real. Let me be real honest with you tonight. If you've ever walked in a dark place for a long time, for a long period of time, and it's as if you have been away from the presence of God for a while or for a period of time, you're saying, God, transform me. Is it okay if I go into overtime tonight for a few minutes? Thank you. God, transform my life. Have you ever been in the presence of God and it was so sweet? I mean, it was sweet. It was sweet. You could just stay there, worship, feel His Holy Ghost, feel His Holy Spirit. And then things in life pulls you away. I'm leaving the camera. And you go way over here into a far land. In 11 years, I ain't done this. And the only thing you can do is look back over there where you used to be. But you're here now. But you want to go back there because there's where you know His presence is. It's like the prodigal. Like they say that sin will take you further than you're willing to go, keep you longer than you're willing to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. I'm not going to take the time to stay there long. In our text in Psalm 36, David is writing this psalm. From the perspective of a man who was looking from way over there back to where he used to be. This is David's heart. When David sinned with Bathsheba, the first thing David did, he lost his fear of God. A loss of the fear of God and not having the proper fear of God will stop and hinder spiritual transformation. David lost his fear. David lost his fear of God. Verse number 2, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes. I'm the big man. I'm the king. Everyone bows to me. He flattered himself with his own eyes. He had already sent the others out to war. Read it. He had already sent the other men out to war. And David was there in the house. And all of a sudden, the most beautiful female that David had ever seen in all of his life was across the way bathing herself. You know the story. I'm not going to go through it all. David, because of his power, that he usurped his power by calling for Bathsheba. This scripture text, again, when you look at this, this is about David. And it says, if you look at this, until his iniquity be found to be hateful in his own heart. Hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and the deceit he hath left off to be wise and to do good. He's not doing good now. He says there, his mouth is now in iniquity. He is now in deceit. He deviseth mischief upon his own bed. I don't know, the Bible don't say. But I wonder how many nights he thought about Bathsheba. See, people don't sin. Well, let me back up. People don't backslide immediately. It's a slow leak. Jody had to fix a tire of mine Saturday. I was coming up 85, and I was watching the tire meter on my dash of my vehicle, and I'm glad I had it. It was at 32 when it started. In a minute, it was at 27. In another few minutes, it was at 25. Another few minutes, it was at 23. Another few minutes, it was at 22. I got off of Randolph Street going to the tire store in a hurry. It was closed. I got a hold of Jody. I'm glad he helped me. Thank you, brother. But I said, I'm in a fix. I need help now. Not knowing I'd preach this, Jody. But somebody's life may have a slow leak. And if you don't get it fixed now, the next thing you're going to do is be just like David. You're going to be laying on your bed at night thinking about the mischief and thinking about the things that you could do that's going to not only break your heart, but break the heart of God. There's something about this spot right here. This is like putting me on a battery pack every time I pass that spot. Has this made any sense tonight at all? So we see this man, David. David finds his place again. He lost his vision. Watch this. We already read this when I think, or we went to it. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I think we read that. But it said, "But the fool despises wisdom and instruction." Are you teachable? I'll leave that where it's at. Do you have a teachable spirit? Transformation. Transforming me. And now let me meddle again for a minute. It is so easy. It is so easy to grow cold and still preach. So easy to lose your edge and still preach. You say, "Oh, preacher, have you done that?" I've done that. I'm not doing it now. But you do it out of what you know in your heart. I've always prayed and tried to ask God to put the words in my mouth. But sometimes it's been harder than it is right now. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you don't. But God says, "I want to transform you." I don't know who's in this room. I don't know who wants what from God. But I've just got back to that place over the last few days. And I'm saying, "God, here I am." But God ain't done with me. I've got years. If I live, you shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. We've got years together, Thomasville. Some may not be as long as others. I don't know. But I'm not quitting. Are we okay? And I'm saying, "God, do whatever you want to do in my life. Transform me." I've not read everything about David's life today. But David did some horrible things. We think about the Psalms and we think about little shepherd boy David. We think about the good things that, oh, that sling boy, he hit old Zechariah right between the eyes, didn't he? He hit Goliath right between the eyes, didn't he? Had to get your attention for a minute. We think about everything good that David did, but David didn't do everything good. You've not done everything good. But David found his way back to God in Psalm 51. And Kathy, I'll have to look. Psalm 51, you know this. We see a broken man coming back to God, who is more than able. David prays in verse number 7, and David declares that if God will change his life. David goes back. Let's go back to 1, Kathy. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God." How do I get transformation in my life. Do what David did. First thing, David repented. David repented of his evil. It's not just kicking the can on down the road. You know what I heard Pastor Boland say years ago? That true repentance is not you getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar. You better not get back in that cookie jar. Better not do that again. True repentance comes when you're grieved over your sin the way that God is grieved over your sin. And for you to have the knowledge that your sin has grieved the heart of God. God, change me. Change me. Transform me. Take my life. Let my life count. Let my life matter. Transform me into the man that you would have me to be. David's prayer. My prayer, but David's prayer. According to his loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sin, blot out my transgressions. I wonder how David knew to pray that. Because David had tasted and David had seen the goodness of his God before. Let me tell you something, friend. You can run, but you can't hide. If you've ever tasted of the goodness of God, I don't care where you go, how far you go, how far you've run, you'll never, ever get away from the goodness of God. There'll always be something doing this. There'll always be this. To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church, was the message of the seven churches. Let me talk to you. Come and let's set a spell. Come and sit. I want to talk to you. Ooh. Oh, my God. I hope I ain't boring you. I'm preaching myself happy tonight. I've told you this. I'll tell it, and then I'll move on fast. You've got to find that place where you can be alone with God, just you and God. You and God. Turn off the distractions. My goodness, that telephone, it's hard to get away from. Years ago when I lived in Clyde, I've told this before, but many of you may not know this. I lived in Clyde and I pastored New Hope. I pastored there for years. I planted that church. It was the love of my heart was the pastor of that church. I've been gone a long, long time, 20 years close to it now. But every Sunday afternoon about it, I take my four-wheeler, mainly my four-wheeler, and I'd ride it up the mountain. And I'd go up to the left, and there was an old road that cut off to the left. It went way back up into the back of the mountain. And I'd spend my afternoons at a rock altar that I built beside the creek, singing to God in the woods and praying to God in the woods. It's been years since I've been there. Brother Russell, I've went back there several times just to go check things out. I don't have a four-wheeler now, and it's a long walk, trust me. They built houses up in there and stuff, but I know where it's at. I said that to say this. The first thing Noah did when he come out of the ark was what? Build an altar. David had to build an altar. Jody, you got music? Low? Just low music? Either way you want to do it. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of this because it's there and it's very evident what it is. But David come back and he says this, create in me a clean heart. How's your heart? Renew in me a right spirit. The right spirit, the right attitude. The right spirit so that I can be right with God. The right spirit so I can stand in the presence of God with clean hands and a pure heart. The right spirit so that I don't look down my nose at others. The right spirit that I don't have anything that would hinder. That's what the word says. It says, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. I mean, we throw dirty sacrifices at God and say, there it is, God, take it or leave it. David knew his heart was broke. David knew that he had sinned against God. David knew that if he didn't have God, that he would never be restored back to that place. David prays, "Cast me not away from thy presence." In the presence. I could park there for a while. If you've ever been in the presence of God and you've walked away from it, oh, how I long for His presence. Oh, how I long. How I long. How I long to be in His presence. Oh, God, I long. I long for Your presence, Lord. How long has it been? I'm not having a meltdown, I promise. It's been so long, just the yearning of my heart, God. Just to be in Your presence. Just in Your presence. And we have these agendas and we come in church like we know what we're supposed to do when we get here. We need to take an eraser and erase our agenda sometimes and just say, God, here I am. Stand with me and do that. Here I am, God, Your presence. God, it is Your presence that's going to transform my life. We cannot go into the presence, Brother Cain, of a holy God and leave the way we came. David knew that he had to be restored. God, my heart, I'm longing, God, for a restoration, for a transformation of my life. God, do it again in this church. Do it again in me. Do it again in our life. As David cried, restore unto me. Restore me, O God, the joy. Let me sense and know my joy, Your joy. And then he says, uphold me with thy free spirit. He's simply saying, God, hold me up. Hold me up, God. I'm about to fall. I can't. God, I need. God, if you don't hold me up, I'm sure to fall. David says, when he's converted, he'll teach others. He says in 14 in his prayer of repentance, deliver me from what he did, blood guiltness of God, oh God. And he said, forgive me of the sins and the transgressions against Uriah the Hittite. Forgive me of murder. David didn't actually murder him. He sent him back into battle in the heat of the battle. And Uriah thought that he could trust David. And he went and done what David told him to do. And in the process, he got killed. Uriah was more faithful than David was, if you think about it. And then David said, God, if you'll forgive me, if you'll restore me, if you'll reestablish my heart, if you'll transform me, God, and let me get back to that place that I was with you, God, I will teach others. I will show others the way also. God has delivered unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our text that we read. If God has so transformed you, so shall we also not want others to be transformed. But it will only happen as we are transformed, that we give away what God has given us, that we might see others transformed as well. Father, I delivered everything you told me to deliver and much more than what I thought I would deliver tonight. And Father, the only thing I can say again is you know my heart. You know my life. You know where every person in this room is right now and those watching online. And God, I simply plead with you, God, plead with you. God, we need you. America needs you, but God, the church needs you. I need you. And God, it's going to happen one by one. When people get so hungry and so thirsty for the things of God, that God, it will leave behind the things of the flesh. Oh God. Lord, I can't say anything else. I can only ask you, oh God, to grant this prayer, oh God, that we might see lives changed. If you want God to do anything in your life, spiritually speaking, right now, raise your hand to Him. And say, God, I'm here. The altars is open. It's a Wednesday night. I know that. But somebody here tonight might need to do business with God. And I'd hate to be the one to stand in the way to keep that from happening. Let Him do a work in your life. We'll pray with Cindy in a moment. As your hands are raised towards heaven, as you're doing a survey of an inventory of your own life, check your heart to see if it's cold or hot. See where you find yourself tonight, online or here in this building. If you find yourself away from God, cold, drifting away from God, say, God, here I am. I'm coming home tonight. God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you tonight, oh God. Transform me. Break every chain. Break every mindset. Break every bondage. Break every addiction. Break every stronghold. And set your people free. Set us free. Set us free tonight, God. Oh God, I know, Lord. I know. Many will say, Pastor, you don't have a clue what you're even talking about. But I do. I do. It's so easy to get tangled up in the things of this world. And I'm not talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I'm talking about anything that would pull you away from a true relationship with Jesus. And your heart would grow cold away from Him. Jesus, stretch your hands this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. You say, it's not me, preacher. And the only thing I can say is hallelujah. But if it is, God has planted a seed in your heart for a spiritual transformation. The Holy Ghost is going to come by and water it. And you're not going to be able to stay where you're at after this message tonight, because you know there's so much more. And there's so much more that God wants to do in your life. If you've got all you want of God, God bless you. But me, I've been doing this a few days. I know the battle. And you know what, Brother Scott? I got room for more of God in my heart tonight. And I'm just saying, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain on Thomasville Church of God. Let it flow from these altars like a river. Let it run down this aisle. Let it run out those doors. And may it go as tributaries into this whole entire city, that people's lives that you touch. You say, well, preacher, I can't help nobody. You can help a whole lot more people than you think just by being His hands and being His feet. I love you. God bless you. I got to challenge you. This week is not just random prayer. It's private prayer in your war room. Subject matter, teenagers. The challenge is your war room. The subject is teenagers. There's too many of them that's drifting. And we pray that God would, they would have a God encounter. Even little ones. The first youngin' I ever seen filled with the Holy Ghost was 8-year-old. 8-year-old. Speaking fluent in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave her the utterance. She always seen a 6-year-old. Many of you have witnessed other things. Spiritual transformation. God bless you. Have a great night. We love you and praying for you. In Jesus' name.